here's a dance you should know. When the lights are down low, grab your baby then go. Do the hucklebuck, do the hucklebuck. If you don't know how to do it, boy, you're out of luck. Push your baby out, then you hunch your back. Start a little movement in your sacroiliac. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck.
Hey, not now. Bet and Steny will tell you when. Hey, girls, start talking.
Yeah. Hello, people of Earth.
People of Earth. Welcome to the hucklebuck.
People of the solar system.
People of the galaxy, welcome to the Hucklebug. I am Steny.
I am... Who am I? Oh, I'm Bet. I'm Bet.
You're Bet. You're Bet.
It's been a while, people.
Been a minute. Yeah. This is episode 690 of the Hucklebug. I had to go look that up, too.
Ends in a zero, people.
It's going to be special. Well, it's going to be special anyway, because it's our first one in 3 months.
Well, and it's going to be special because of what it is.
It's our first one in 3 months. It's also, we're kind of back to regular schedule now. I am going to be away April 6th, but other than that, we should be back on the weekly. So get resubscribe if you've unsubscribed after all this time.
Get used to us. We're coming back.
We're not gone. We're back. We're back, baby. We're just going to ease in, though, this week with a special show. We're going to do the Colbert Questionnaire. Do you guys watch Stephen Colbert's show? Is it The Late Show with Stephen Colbert? Is that his show?
Yes.
Is that what it is? He took over Dave's show.
Yes. And I watch, but until this certain questionnaire we're talking about, I didn't know it existed. And now I've gone down a YouTube rabbit hole.
It appears that he started doing it during the pandemic when all he could do was interview people on Zoom, you know, trying to keep his show alive and stuff like that. And he would just have interviews with celebrities, and he would go through this list of 15 questions. And
it's supposed to probe the depths of their souls.
Yeah, he's got a whole thing that he does about how these particular 15 questions are just right for actually getting to know a person. Who knows? But mostly I think it's just for fun, but... Bet set me one.
But it's so much better than tell us about your latest movie.
Yeah, exactly. It's way better than tell. Plus, I don't have a latest movie to tell you about.
That's right.
So we're going to go through the Colbert questionnaire, and we'll start with question number one. What is the best sandwich?
Okay.
So what is the best? And by the way, I want to say about this question, I like that it's what is the best sandwich, not what is your favorite sandwich. Which are not necessarily the same thing. What is the best sandwich?
Well, there would have been a time where there was only one answer to this and everybody else was wrong. But I have a bubbling under. But always and forever, to me, the best sandwich is a Reuben.
A Reuben. I had a feeling you were going to say Reuben. I kind of felt like you were going to say Reuben. I'm going to go with grilled cheese. The other thing I want to say about this question is, I haven't heard anybody give a wrong answer to it. You know, like people will say BLT, and I'm like, that's a very valid answer. Or peanut butter and jelly. Elvis? What did he say?
Yeah. It's like a Connie buddy, where you take light bread and you pour condensed milk over it.
Oh, that's right. That sounded disgusting.
And Colbert says that's the most post-war England thing I've ever heard.
Well, it's not really I know it's made with bread, but that doesn't sound like it's really a sandwich either, does it? Because it feels like you probably eat it with like a spoon or something.
Can't go wrong. But I got to thinking, you know, I don't want to think too much about these, but I got to thinking, another favorite sandwich of mine is the day after Thanksgiving turkey dressing and cranberry sauce.
That's another really good answer. That's another really, really good answer. Not a wrong answer.
You get it once a year, people. It's special.
Chicken parmesan sandwich, that's good. BLT, I like BLT is a great sandwich to order if you're someplace where you've never eaten before, because it's really hard to fuck up unless you just like don't cook the bacon long enough. Other than that, I mean, a BLT is really easy.
Club sandwich, can't get wrong.
Club sandwich, turkey club, I love a turkey club. The only wrong answer to this question I've ever heard is hot dog, but it's not because I don't think hot dog is a sandwich, because I think hot dog is a sandwich. It's a piece of meat between two pieces of bread. Right. That's a sandwich. I'm fine with it. I don't think that's controversial. What I do think is controversial is how can you say hot dog is the best sandwich when grilled cheese exists, when when Turkey Club exists? You know, there's, I mean, yeah. I they're great for like the cookout, the family cookout. They're great at a ball game. But other than that, there's never a time when I'm like, you know what I really want right now is a hot dog. There's just never, never. They're gross. They're made out of leftover parts of animal. All right. Sorry, I think we've covered best sandwich.
And by the way, I do think there is one wrong answer, and you mentioned it, PB&J. I cannot abide a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
You don't have to, but you don't have to like it.
I like jelly. Don't
Give not together. I get that. You don't have to like it yourself to recognize it, though, as an iconic staple of many American childhoods. And that's why I think it's a great answer, because it's a comfort food, you know? What is the one thing you own that you should really throw out?
You can go first on this one.
This one's really hard because there's not one thing. There's a million things that I own. Well,
my preliminary really answer was everything.
Everything, exactly. What I thought might be fun, actually, was just to open up my drawer and see if there's one thing I can just grab and throw out right now. So let's just take something. Oh, yeah, perfect. I don't even know what this is. I don't even know what this is. I'm going to throw it away. It's a piece of electrical equipment. Oh, it does say Magic Jack on it. We had an idea that maybe I would set a landline phone up for my mom so that while she was here so that she could make phone calls. But we ended up just doing phone calls on my phone. So guess what? I don't need this. I'm throwing it away. There. That was the one thing I owned that I really should throw out. I've just done it.
Okay, well, oddly enough, I'm looking at the one thing I should throw out. If I pick one, the one thing I should throw out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bag of basically trash that needs to be thrown.
A bag of basically trash.
Well, it is a kitchen trash bag full of old pocketbooks. I call them pocketbooks. You call them handbags.
I actually call mine a purse.
I gave them to my cleaning person, Pat, and said, because she can repurpose stuff.
I
said, take anything out of this you want, or to give to people, whatever And so she took like two out.
She took
it's
what she
still
wanted.
Full. And I was going to either take it to the Goodwill or there's like a donation box. And it's still sitting
still
right
there.
In the corner of the dinette.
Still there. I get that.
Because
my closets are so
I
full.
I am my parents' child.
Yeah. I did, before mom moved in here, I did a deep clean and I got rid of a lot of stuff so that I could make room for her. And it didn't work because I did not make anywhere near enough room as I wish I could have. And second of all, there's still tons that I'm like, why do I have it? Why do I have this?
Well, and if you could see my back bedroom, AKA the beast.
The man trap.
Which is like three. No, that's my bedroom. My
oh, that's your room.
Your room
is the beast. Yeah, okay.
It's three walls of shelves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say everything. There is not anything on those shelves that I use, need, want, that I can't bear to go through them, put them in bags, throw them away.
I totally get it. I totally get it. I'm with you. All right. Bette and I basically have the same answer there, which is everything. Number three, what is the scariest animal?
Okay.
What do you got? There's lots of scary animals.
Does anything living count as an animal?
Well, I mean, not a tree.
It doesn't have to be a mammal.
It doesn't have to be a mammal. Okay. It could be a bird or a reptile, sure. Or a bug.
Okay, because for me, it's a spider.
Spider.
I was going to say a snake.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, 2 years after I moved to the pod, I met Seamus, the little ringtail snake, and I fell in love with him.
Yeah.
So I can't say snake because that would do him a disservice.
Yeah,
but spiders creep me out. I had the scariest, worst experience in my life killing a spider that was pregnant. And guess what happened?
Oh, God, all the babies.
Yes. And I've also put on a shoe and have been bitten by a spider that was And
gotta look in your shoes.
Yes.
Especially because the ones that hide, the spiders that hide in things like shoes tend to be the ones that are dangerous, you know? Like,
oh, yeah. I had streaks up my leg and the whole thing.
Yeah. We have the only poisonous spiders that live in this area where I live are brown recluse spiders, which I don't know if they're deadly, but I know that they are venomous. Venomous, right? Not poisonous. Poisonous is if you eat it.
Oh,
venomous means they can.
Oh, I think the brown recluse is one of the most deadly.
That's what I think too. But the good thing about them is that they're aptly named, so they're not usually hanging out where people are. But they might nest in, like, you know, your winter sweaters when you put your winter sweaters away. So that's the shit you got to watch out for. For me, the scariest animal is the ostrich, and nobody has said ostrich. But if you've seen that episode of Dirty Jobs, if you've seen that episode of Dirty Jobs, you know what I'm talking about. They are fucking frightening. And they're aggressive, too. Like lions are scary. But if, you know, if it was me versus a lion, A, I'm going to lose. But B, he's going to kill me quick. He's not going to fuck with me. He's not going to toy with me.
Oh, and you know, they're so goofy looking, but they have a land speed of, like, what, 40 miles?
70. No, I think it's 70. Oh, I think it's 70. I'm like, they're super fast. They're almost as fast as cheetahs. They're not quite as fast as cheetahs. They're like 60 miles an hour. They're super fast. Don't try and outrun it. They will kill you. So, yeah, that's my scariest animal. All right, bet. Apples or oranges?
Apples.
Yeah, apples. I like oranges too.
I like a good juicy orange, but they're so few and far between.
Yeah.
And apples, there are so many kinds and you can do so much with them.
It's a very versatile fruit. I mean, Steven's right when he says you can't put peanut butter on an orange. Well, you could put peanut butter on an orange.
But it would suck.
It wouldn't taste very good. Although there was that one, there was some musical artist on this, some singer whose name I don't know, but she said you can't inject vodka into an apple.
This is true.
So that was why she chose orange, because you can inject it with vodka.
He must have known Brian back in high school. They used to bring.
That was a college. That was definitely a thing that happened in my college days. People did that. But yeah, I mean, apples. It's not just peanut butter. You can make apple butter. You can make apple pie.
Right.
You know, there's all this stuff you can do with apples that you can't. What do you do with an orange? Nothing. Just eat it.
Nothing. Eat it.
That's it. You can make marmalade. Bleh. Nobody even likes marmalade. Have you ever asked someone for their autograph, Bet?
Yes.
I knew you had. I think this question works better for celebrities because it is kind of cool to see like who the celebrities are, you know, then it's almost always sports figures, but you know, sometimes
Again, we're going back to the first one I saw, Elvis. His was Gregory Peck.
Hey, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Yeah,
and then he went on. I love the story he told about his father and his grandfather who had all these autographs that he now has.
Yeah, I like that too.
So I hope that when people ask Elvis for an autograph, it's
that he thinks of that.
He's kind. Yes.
Yeah, I hope so too.
But yeah, I've asked Squeeze, R.E.M.
Squeeze,
Bela Fleck,
Paul Reiser. I got Paul Reiser's autograph.
I remember that picture of you and Paul Reiser. Oh, gosh, I'm sure there. Oh, very first autograph I ever got, John Denver.
First autograph I ever got was an actor. I think his name is Ray McDonald. He played Dr. Joe Martin on All My Children.
Oh, I know him.
Yeah. And I was at the airport. I was at the airport with my mom and my stepdad, I think. Yes, Tad Martin's dad. Weirdly, I think that we were at... I think we were at LaGuardia, and we never went to LaGuardia. We always went to Newark Airport. So for some reason, we were at LaGuardia. And Ray McDonald was, like, standing in the middle of the floor, just standing there going, just waiting for somebody to come up and ask him for an autograph. Totally.
You were the one.
I was very little, and my dad pointed him out, and he said, "Do you know him?" And I said, He goes, "I think he's on a soap opera." Was it my dad? It was somebody, some grown-up that I was with. And anyway, they said, "Go ask him for his autograph." So I did. I went up and I said, "Can I have your autograph?" And he was like, "Oh." And he said, "What is your name?" And I told him my name. And someplace I still have it, I think. And it says, "Hi, Heidi. You're very pretty. Love Dr. Joe Martin, Ray McDonald." So cute. Yeah.
Oh, and one happy memory of my life, the Hackensaw Boys.
Uh-huh.
You know,
oh, yeah.
I got them to sign a Mother's Day card.
That's right. That was so great.
And Sean, his message was, "Hey, Granny, remember the Alamo."
That's good.
And I've never had a bad experience with an autograph. Nobody's
me either.
Ever been ugly.
Well, we've never asked Ringo. You know. I guess we won't now. We know better. Ooh, all right, toughie.
This is the toughie.
What do you think happens when we die?
You go first.
Me? Okay. So this is my rudimentary, never took physics understanding of the law, but my understanding of the laws of physics is that matter and energy cannot be destroyed and cannot be created. They can only change form, right? So I think when we die, the matter dissolves and the energy goes someplace. I don't know where it goes. I think we just, and I don't know, and I think Nicolas Cage had kind of a similar answer to me, which is I don't know whether or not, I think that energy goes on. It goes someplace. I don't think it carries necessarily our consciousness with it, but whatever electrical impulses that are allowing me to move my body around, those electrical impulses will be around someplace. They will either move into whatever the next form is, or I don't know what. I don't know, because I never took physics, but that's what I think happens when we die. Because I don't believe there's such a place as heaven or hell. I kind of wish that there was. It seems weird to me that, you know, in a 14 billion year old universe, that if we're the only life forms, that we only exist for about 80 years and then we piss off. So I don't know.
Right. Well, for me, mine kind of touches on yours, I guess. Mm-hmm. But my theory of what happens when we die comes from The Good Place.
Ah, and I love that.
I think just bits of us fall down upon the people who may or may not need us.
Yeah. I love that.
But I also have to tell you, love the idea of recreation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but reincarnation.
Yeah. But I love my version of it, which, you know, I'm not going to come back as an ant. I'm going to come back as a person who had the advantages that I never had and the disadvantages that I never had.
Interesting.
And I will hopefully work out my life then.
There's a really awesome short story by the guy who wrote The Martian. Can't remember his name. Anyway, the short story is called The Egg. Who wrote The Martian?
Is it Bradbury?
No.
Oh.
He's newer than that. I'm just going to quickly look it up. Sorry. Andy Weir. Andy Weir is the name of the author.
That's way new. Yeah.
Andy Weir is the name of the author. He wrote a short story called The Egg. I'm just going to make a little... You can find it on the internet, actually. You just Google it. You don't even have to buy it. You can just Google it and read the whole thing. It's quite short. It's I really like it. And it has a little bit. He has his own little theory on that. All right. Favorite action movie?
Okay. And I like this one because an action movie could be... I mean, The In-Laws could be an action movie.
It could be. There's action in that.
But for me, when I think action movie... Absolutely nothing better. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark is also my answer. I don't think anybody will be too surprised by that. We snapped on that. Favorite action movie. Yeah, I mean, it's definitive, isn't it? It's almost a perfect movie.
The first 7-8 minutes of that movie.
You can't stop.
You've already been through a blender. That's
exactly. You get to see the first 10 minutes of the movie is a short movie all by itself. Just introducing, this is the concept of Indiana Jones, everybody.
And
it's amazing.
Every time you kind of lay back and take a breath. Whoa, it starts.
Yep, exactly. You get just a minute to breathe and then whoosh, off to the next thing. It's and I don't even really like action movies that much. But that one's genre defining as far as I'm concerned. window or aisle? Now, I know you don't fly, but you take the train or the bus. I've flown enough. I've flown too much. I know.
And I've done both.
There's trains and buses as well. As much as I hate to be up in the air in a big capsule. Yes.
I like the window.
Yep, same here.
You can open it and look out, or you can close it and pretend you're not and on sleep. A plane.
Yeah, and then you got a wall to lean against when you
And
sleep.
I'm always with the person that I'm traveling
That's
with.
Sitting,
so it's okay so if you have to go to the bathroom.
So it's no big deal to make him get up.
Right.
I cannot remember the last time I was on a flight that lasted more than a couple of hours. I don't normally have to get up to pee during the flight. It's rare. It's rare that I have to get up and pee during a flight. So I don't care. And if you're on the aisle and you don't have to get up to pee, then you got to get up to let everybody else out. So I don't like that either. The window, it's the window for me too. I like to lean against it to sleep.
Yeah, you're pretty much doomed at that point.
Yeah. So I like the window. I'm going to stick with the window. Favorite smell.
Okay, folks, some people may not agree with this, but I have to say garlic.
I like garlic. That's
and
a good smell.
And I will say to people who hate the smell of garlic, this is cooking garlic,
mm-hmm.
and it just brings everything back to me when I would come home,
mm-hmm.
and it would be Granny's afternoon off, and she would be upstairs making spaghetti sauce or chili, and the minute you opened the door, that smell would hit you
smell it,
and it
yeah.
was just love. It
yeah.
was love.
Yes.
Garlic
yes.
equals love. In
garlic
my life.
Is love. fresh baked bread is up there
great.
For the same reason.
When we lived in Fuchin Burger Bakery, was uh-huh. in Bluefield, West Virginia. Every time we drove by it, everybody would roll down the windows. Because you could
smell
the bread.
Just so you could smell the smell. Fresh baked bread is a good one, although I'm my favorite smell. I'm gonna go with fresh baked brownies. There's nothing like the way your house smells when you've just made a fresh batch of brownies. Woo! Yum, yum.
Man.
My favorite smell to go along with my favorite thing to eat, which is also brownies. What's your least favorite smell?
Well, Milo's troubles.
Milo's old complaint.
Yes, because when thank God it hasn't happened in so long, but when it had happened, the minute you opened the door to the den,
yeah.
and the complaint was somewhere else.
Yes,
the minute you opened the door to the den, oh my God!
Yeah, that's no good. That's no good. I know that
doggy
smell.
Doo is not a good smell, people.
No, it's not a good. It's not a good smell, even in the best of circumstances. Yes. But when you're smelling it as you're opening your front door to your own home, as you're walking in, then that's definitely a bad smell. My least favorite smell is the smell that hangs in your kitchen for 2 days after you've cooked something with onions. I can't stand onions. And I appreciate the flavor that they bring to a dish, but I don't like to eat them. I don't like the texture of them. And I absolutely cannot stand the smell of them. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I am off onions for good from now on, everybody. Forget it with the onions. I ain't having them. But yeah,
I
can't stand that smell.
If you chop up an onion and you get the smell on your hands,
lemon juice takes it
right off.
Excellent. Good tip. A great tip there from Bet. What is the most used app on your phone?
Well, that's easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
The game Phase 10.
Phase 10?
Yeah. Okay. Phase 10 is a card game that my family played. And still plays, those of us left, religiously.
Yeah.
And there is, it's like a, you know, quote unquote, phase 10. It's some, I think uh-huh. it's called phase rummy or something.
Okay.
But I play it every single day at lunch.
Okay. All right. Phase 10. All right. That's Bets. You know, and I'm sure there is a way for me to go into the settings on my phone and give the real answer, but mine, it's probably Facebook. Because anytime I've got just a minute to just kind of, like if I'm having a cigarette or if I'm online at checkout or something like that, I'll bring up Facebook and see if there's anything new.
And see, I never Facebook on my phone.
You never do Facebook on the phone?
Yeah. In fact, I miss a lot of messages because
I usually just
Facebook message me
right
when it comes up on my phone.
I usually just scroll. I don't normally. I might like something, but I don't like. I don't normally comment, and I don't normally post new things when I from my phone. If I'm going to post something, I do that through the computer. But it's probably the one I use the most. I have a game called Energy that I play a lot also.
And by the way, my second is probably the stopwatch.
Oh yeah, the stopwatch.
Use the stopwatch for everything.
Yep. I do like the stopwatch. Stopwatch is useful. All right. Cats or dogs? You go first. I already know what your answer is.
Is anybody sitting on the edge of their seats for this one?
But here's the thing. Now, I've watched through a bunch of these Colbert questionnaires, tons of different celebrities from all walks of life. I don't think anybody has said cats.
I don't know that I've seen cats. Of course, mine's dogs. You know it.
Yeah, I'm gonna break the trend. I am going to say cats. I am going to say cats. And listen, I love dogs.
And I love cats. So, yeah. You know.
But I think
there are cat people and there are dog people.
Cats have one advantage over dogs. Dogs have advantages over cats.
They're
too.
Independent.
You know, dogs,
that's
no,
the cat
they
advantage.
Purr. They Ooh. Purr. Dogs don't purr.
Dogs don't purr.
There is something very relaxing about having a cat on your lap purring.
Oh.
You cannot help but be relaxed. And, you know, in these crazy times in which we live, to have a cat on your lap purring, it's a fine thing in life. So I am going to say cats. I love dogs.
And truly, cats are the better built animal.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got it all. They've got weaponry.
Yes.
Amongst their diverse elements are weaponry. Yes. A cool head, a keen eye.
They always land on their feet.
Yes.
They have nine lives.
Like I said, they're independent. You can go away and leave your cat for the weekend and he'll
That's
be
true.
Fine.
He'll be fine. He'll miss you. He'll miss you a little bit, but he'll be fine. And
the dogs need you. And that's
dogs.
That's
dogs
kind of
do
my
need
thing.
You. But the other thing about dogs is dogs smile. Mm. Now cats don't smile. That's something dogs have over cats. Dogs will when you look at your dog, you know your dog is happy to see you.
I truly have never seen a cat smile.
I've never seen a cat smile. I've also, I think I will go so far as to say I've never seen a cat that made me think my cat is happy to see me. My cat is okay with me being in the room, but she's never like, oh boy, it's you. She's like, it's you.
Hadn't
so,
kicked me out yet.
Number 13. This is my least favorite of all the questions.
Oh.
If you could only listen to one song for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Okay. You want to go first? My turn? I don't know.
What I will say is this. I would rather be dead than listen to one song for the rest of my life. I would rather die than listen to just one song for the rest of my life.
Yes.
And I know that that's not the point of the question. The point of the question is what song could you listen to and not get tired of? But there's none. There's none. There's no songs I could listen to and not get tired of. I would get tired of whatever it is, probably by the first day.
I hope that's not true. But for this one, thinking of all the songs, I'm like you, all the songs I love.
Right.
And can queue up on iTunes and play like five times in a row.
Right. Yes.
I was thinking those kind of songs aren't going to work. So I picked Holt's The Planets. Gustav Holt's The Planets.
Now see, that's good. I did
because
think of
it's like it's classical music. It's five different movements. One is happy. One is angry. Mm-hmm. One is light. One's kind of sad and heavy. So you've got to, please don't just give me one movement. I've got to have the whole
Yeah,
symphony.
That's the thing. You see, I almost said Haydn's Sixth Symphony, but I'm like, that's not really a song, is it? It's a collection of. So if you're going to do that, then I'm going to go with Haydn's Sixth Symphony then. And then we can be esoteric and everybody can talk about how fancy we are that we chose classical music as our, and we didn't even go for something obvious like Ode to Joy either. We went off. Holst. Nobody chooses Holst.
There are no lyrics. So maybe at some point on the 75th listening, we'll make up our own lyrics.
Make up our own lyrics. Exactly. That's true. Stephen Colbert is always quick to point out that you don't have to listen to it on a continuous loop. It's just the only song you can listen to. So you can go days without listening to anything. But that sounds miserable too. Yeah. And I can listen to whatever I want in my head. I guess there's that. Bet, what number am I thinking of?
What number are you thinking of?
What number am I thinking of? Right now, I'm thinking of a number. What is it?
17.
Nope. Okay. All right, now you think of a number and tell me.
Oh, I've got one.
You've got one? All right. 537.
Nope.
All right. All right, well, we will let's diverge though from Stephen though, cuz Stephen has to ask other people these questions and we don't. The number I was thinking of was 36.
Mine was 88.
88. I love it. All right, here we go. The final question, number 15. It's not really a question, it's a statement. Describe the rest of your life in 5 words.
All I could come up with was, not looking too good, bro.
Oh, honey. Mine is more good than bad, hopefully.
Oh, boy, did we unsnap on that one?
We unsnapped. Yeah, I'm trying to keep positive as best I can.
Glass half full on that one.
Yeah, I'm glass half full and you're glass half empty for sure. You might be a little more than half empty. It's from the sounds of it.
Oh, but you know, we were talking earlier. I got to get myself to the doctor. That's all right. There is to
it's the year of care, the year of self-care, Bet. Don't forget. I know I do too. Now that mom is gone, my mom moved into a lovely home about an hour south of here.
When she says gone, she means to another place.
Yes, I mean she's not in the house anymore. I mean, she's not living here now. So mom she's moved on to her next place. But that still sounds gloomy, doesn't it? It still sounds like she died. It just means she moved to an adult care home.
Yeah. She's going to make friends. I know she's
not having a very good adjustment period, but you know, we'll just keep our fingers crossed that improves quickly. And her dog Poppy went off to live with my cousin today, literally on a farm. This is the farm that people talk about their dogs going to live.
Stinny scared the shit out of me.
I told Bet she was
going to live on the proverbial farm.
She's actually going to live on a farm with my cousin. My cousin has 20 acres and she's got goats. And Poppy's going to become friends with goats now, I guess. She's going to be the dog. She's going to be the dog.
Goats are wild. There might be a picture of a goat standing on Poppy's shoulders.
Could be. Goats standing right on Poppy.
Yeah,
that's what they do. Goats, they like to just stand on things, and on dogs, I guess. Anyway, so that is our show this week. That's it. Just the Colbert questionnaire. Just those 15 questions. You guys can feel free if you want to leave us.
Oh, please, please bring leave us comments. Tell us something you feel strongly about that.
Yeah.
Your best sandwich, or what's the best?
Right. Yeah. What's the
you
best
ever saw?
Yeah. Or who did you get an autograph from? Or what is your least favorite smell? Or feel free to answer all of the questions if you want. I don't
care. All of them, exactly.
Just leave us some comments, would you? Because I have to say, Bet and I came back and we recorded a year-end show. And at first, everybody was kind of like, yay, because we posted a couple things on Facebook. And people were like, oh, yeah, you guys are back. And then we didn't get any comments on the episode at all. And now I have to say, that kind of made me feel bad a little bit.
We must have loved you.
So anyway, yeah, resubscribe, everybody. Resubscribe. And
we are completely free. We are well worth the price, people.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. As far as bang for your buck goes, I don't think you can do better than the Hucklebug. We have no ads. We have no Patreon.
That's right.
And, you know, we're still an ad-free zone. We're one of the only ad-free zones left on planet Earth.
Possibly the, yes.
We might be the. Next week we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about binge watches and movies and advice columns and who knows what.
We know nothing about right now.
We have no clue. We don't even remember how to do the show, nor do we remember how to prepare for a show. So we're going to start our crash course.
Yes.
Right after we finish recording, I guess.
That's right. We're going straight to, I'm getting my pencil out, and we're going right in.
Yep. We're prep right away. I might watch a movie tonight just to see how it feels. It's been a goddamn long time since I saw a movie, at least one that I haven't seen before. I watched, my mom likes The Sound of Music, so we watch that every once in a while, and she also loves Best in Show. That one's fun. I don't mind watching Best in Show a few times. And then Legally Blonde is another one of my mom's favorites, which it's cute.
If I may say, Thursday, because the World Figure Skating Championships are this
week. I saw a little bit of that on Thursday night.
And on Thursday night, after it ended, it was on USA. NBC's just fucking us over.
Yeah.
It was on USA. But after the skating championships, my mom's favorite movie ever, A League of Their Own, was on.
I had
to sit and watch it. I love that movie.
That's a great movie. Do you know the girl who played Sharona on Monk is the girl who cries in baseball? I don't know if you ever watched Monk. That's one of her favorite shows.
I have seen Monk, but boy, I didn't know that.
Well, Sharona's only in the first two seasons, and then he has Natalie instead of Sharona. Okay. So if you haven't seen those seasons. Yeah, maybe you've only seen the episodes with Natalie in it. But yeah, she's the girl who cries. Oh. And also has Stillwell, the little boy Stillwell. That's the same girl.
Oh, yeah.
Stillwell Angel. You're gonna lose.
Avoid the clap, Jimmy Dugan. That's good advice.
That is good advice for everybody.
And of course, I have to say, piss on your red hat.
Oh, piss on your red hat. Well, that was uncalled for.
That was uncalled for.
And that lady, that was uncalled. Has anyone seen my new red hat? Oh, I know. She was Jamie's sister on Mad About You.
Yes, and you know, at the beginning of that scene, when May comes out and they say that dress is too tight, well, I'm not going to be wearing it that long, she's wearing a red hat. She took the red hat.
She's the one who took the red hat. Good detective work there, Bet. Very nice. I like that.
Took 17 watchings, but I got it right.
Oh, piss on your red hat. All right, gang. That's all we're going to do this week. Like we say, we're just easing into it. Leave us comments, please. We miss all of you terribly. We should be back to regular schedule.
You know, we have to come up with stuff to do. Got anything?
Give us things to talk about.
Things you've been wondering that you
give
think
us
we
things
need
to talk
about.
Give us lyrics quizzes to do. Movie mashup. Oh, we haven't done movie mashups in a long time. Let's not do them next week. Let's just do a regular.
Yeah,
you know, things like that. Movie mashups. Give us fun stuff to do. We want to know.
But mainly, just listen and stay with us.
Yeah, leave us some comments, would you?
Because we love you.
Yes, we do. We love you, and we've missed you guys terribly, and we've missed each other, and now life's back to normal again, or as normal as it gets.
As normal as it gets.
The new normal, as we call
it. The new normal, yes.
Yep. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Till next time, I am Stenny.
And I'm Bet. I remember.
We're Bet and Stenny, and you've been listening to The Hucklebug. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. We love you.
Mwah. That's the way you do it when you do The Hucklebug.
Have to put on my thinking cap now. I've been thoughtless for months.